1 Kings chapter 17, and we are going to continue our series on the life of Elijah. We just started it last week, and as we looked last week at the first verse of chapter number 17, we actually looked at the last several verses of chapter 16 so that we could set the scene for the life and ministry of the prophet Elijah. And as we studied the Word of God, we understood that the Word of God revealed to us, it reveals to us the fact that Elijah was called by God to minister during a very dark hour in Israel's history. We looked at those verses in verses 29 through 34 of chapter 16, and we read about the things that were taking place. And of course, Ahab is the king of Israel, and all of the wickedness and all of the idolatry and all of those things. And we find that God raised up a man by the name of Elijah to go and prophesy and minister to the nation of Israel. And we find that he comes. It's interesting as we look at verse number 1 of 1 Kings 17. Elijah just quickly appears on the scene, and I said this last week that almost as quickly as he appears, he is gone, and we see that this evening as we'll look at verses 2 through 6, but it's interesting because the 25 words, that's it, just 25 words in verse number 1 is what he declared as he stood before Ahab. A 25-word declaration, but we find that in those 25 words that Elijah, what was revealed to us about this man, was his personal walk with God, his understanding of who God is and what God is capable of doing. And we find that it not only revealed Elijah's personal walk with God, but it revealed to us the impending judgment from the righteous judge. And we know that the Lord God Jehovah, He is the righteous judge. And because of the wickedness that was prevalent in Israel at this time, and not only all of the idolatry and following after all of that that had been instituted. Remember, as we looked at the text of Scripture in chapter 16 and verse 31, the Word of God tells us about all of the sins of Jeroboam and how they followed and all of that. But then, because of Ahab's wicked marriage to Jezebel, we find that the worship of Baal was also instituted. And then here comes Elijah on the scene, and we find that he announces judgment from the hand of the righteous judge. Elijah departs from the presence of King Ahab almost as suddenly as he appeared in verse number 1. If you're taking notes this evening, I've simply titled the message, Elijah at Cherith. And we'll look at verses 2 through 6 this evening and dig into the message. The Word of God says this, beginning in verse number 2. The Word of the Lord came unto him, Elijah, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Verse 5 says, So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. As we look at the text of Scripture, I want you to notice first of all this evening the direction for God's servant. Notice the direction for God's servant. Verses 3 and 4, as we've read the text of Scripture already, the Bible tells us that God gave direction to Elijah. You notice in verse number 2, it says, The word of the Lord came unto him, Elijah, saying, and God is going to provide direction for his servant, Elijah. We find that the direction given was both clear and direct. It's interesting as we look at the text of Scripture that God tells Elijah exactly where to go. He does not leave it to his own devices to figure out. He tells him exactly the place to go. According to verse number 3, he says, Get thee hence, turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And so God is faithful to give direction to His servant, Elijah, and that direction is clear, it is direct, and we find that it's precise. We find that in this direction that God provides, that He also provides him with a promise of provision. Now that's exciting as we'd consider the announcement of judgment that was just given about this this difficulty of drought that was going to come. He says that there would not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And obviously the result of drought would have a negative impact on the agricultural producing and so on and so forth, and things would dry up. And we find that here God provides direction. He tells them a place, but he also gives them a promise, the promise of provision. As we think about the promise of provision, we find that the promised provision was in the place that had been specified in verse number 3. In verse 4, it says that it shall be. I like the shalls of the Word of God, amen? He didn't say it might be, it could be, by chance you might find some things there. He says, no, it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. There. That's where he's speaking about in verse number 3, right? The specific place that God told him to go. So we find that God provided direction for his servant, Elijah, but it's interesting because he also was going to provide direction for his creation, the ravens. Amen? And he was going to give the ravens some command, and we find, as we'll study through the text of Scripture this evening, that the ravens obey the voice of God, and we praise the Lord for that. I want you to consider this, though, as we think about the direction that's provided for God's servant. I want you to consider that the all-knowing, eternal God offers direction to His servant. Now think about that just for a moment. God Almighty, sitting in the heavens, sitting upon His throne, He has a personal relationship. Remember, we find that Ahab, as he discussed for us in verse number 1, in those 25 words that he declared to Ahab, he says, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand." Ahab is there, and he's following all of these false gods and all of the idolatry, and Elijah shows up, and Elijah reveals through his announcement the understanding that God lives, and that God, the Lord God Jehovah, is the only God, and we find that he says, "Before whom I stand." And so he understands some things about God, but I want you to consider with me this evening that our God is omniscient. He knows all things. We know that He's eternal, right? He is Alpha and Omega. He is the first and the last. And we consider this evening that God Almighty provides direction to His servant. Elijah doesn't know what's going to happen tomorrow or next week or next month, but God does. Elijah does not have perfect wisdom and perfect knowledge, but God does. And we find that God provides direction to His servant, and it should cause us to rejoice this evening as we look at the direction that God would provide for Elijah, but also as we understand tonight that God still provides direction for His people. I'm thankful for the Word of God and for the truth that's contained therein, and I'm thankful for the leadership of God's Word and the direction that God's Word gives to His people. Consider with me over in the book of Psalms. Hold your spot there in 1 Kings 17, and I want you to look over at Psalm 73, if you will. I want to look at a verse of Scripture here in Psalm 73, and then remind you of a verse over in Psalm 119, a verse that we're very familiar with. In fact, it will be the next stanza that we'll study in Sunday school through Psalm 119, where the Bible says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path," in Psalm 119 and 105. But notice here in Psalm 73 and verse number 24, notice what the psalmist says. He says, "Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory." Aren't you thankful that thou is God? He says, "Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel." I'm thankful this evening that God provides direction and counsel and leadership to His people, to us as His servants. And what a joy that is to know the leadership and the direction. See, Elijah stands before Ahab and he gives this announcement, and he announces this impending judgment from the righteous judge, and then God gives direction to Elijah. God says, okay, now Elijah, you've gone and you've given this announcement. You've taken the message to Ahab that I've given you to deliver. And as you've delivered that message, now I have some direction for you. And here's what my command is to you. And God is faithful to give him clear direction for the next steps in his life. By the way, it's interesting as you study 1 Kings 17 and 18, and we'll study this obviously over the next several weeks in our Wednesday night prayer meeting, but it's interesting as you study the text of Scripture that God is leading Elijah in the same manner in which he often leads us, one step at a time. I'm thankful for that. I've often thought, considered, I've even said in other contexts of messages as I've preached, that God is gracious in not showing us what it is that He'd have us do 20 years from now, because quite frankly, we're not ready today for what He's going to have us do 20 years from now. And if He showed us today what He'd have us do 20 years from now, it might scare us to death. Amen? But God leads us and He directs us and He gives us that clarity of direction. And I'm thankful this evening as we could look at the New Testament believer for each of us here this evening that God uses His Word to guide us, that God uses His Spirit to lead us. And I'm thankful that the Holy Spirit of God indwells us. It's important for us to understand and realize this evening that God's Spirit is never going to lead us contrary to God's Word. And there is unity in the leadership of the Spirit and the leadership of the Word of God. So we notice, first of all, the direction for God's servant. Now I want you to notice the obedience of God's servant. Notice in verse number 5, it's amazing to me, as we would kind of dissect the text of Scripture and see what takes place, and just, again, try to put yourself in the situation. You're Elijah, you come and you stand before Ahab, the most wicked king, as we described last week and we looked through and we set the scene. He's the most wicked king of Israel. He one-upped Omri, his father, and he was the most wicked king, and he stands before him and he announces this judgment of drought that would come, and now he's led by God, he's provided this direction, and we notice his obedience. In the text of Scripture it says, so he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. Now, this evening, obedience is critical. Obedience is critical. It is absolutely imperative that we obey the Lord in the direction that He gives. See, for Elijah, there was one specific place that God commanded him to go, and it was in that, only that specific place, that he would be sustained. Think about that this evening. Elijah couldn't just decide to go to some other brook. He couldn't decide to go to some other place. And he couldn't go to that place and say, now God, how are you going to provide for me? No, God led him and gave him direction to a specific place. And his obedience is critical. It is critical for him to obey exactly as the Lord has given the direction. It was not for him, Elijah, to lean on his own understanding. It was not for him to say, well, I know a better place, or I know a different location, or I know something that's... It's not for Elijah to consider all those things. It's for Elijah to simply obey what God had told him to do. And God gave clear direction, and in that clear direction, we find that obedience is critical. I want you to notice that his obedience was immediate. The Bible says, so he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. There's no conversation, there's no discussion, there's no back and forth, there's just immediate obedience on the part of Elijah. We find that he immediately leaves from the place where he was, he hears the word of the Lord, he receives the direction, and he goes and he did according unto the word of the Lord. And how important it is that we'd understand that there should be no question. See, when we understand who God is, we understand that He is the omniscient God. We understand that He is the eternal God. Then He gives marching orders, and it's just for us to do what He said to do. To go where He told us to go. To obey what He's bidden us to do. And we find here that He went and did according unto the word of the Lord. There's no questions. There's no delays. We find that His obedience was immediate, but His obedience was complete. It says here that he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. Now, I'm thankful that the writer of 1 Kings has chosen, obviously, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, to provide for us all of verse number 15. Because we find, as we look at the entirety of verse number 5, we find that Elijah's obedience was complete. He went exactly to the precise place that God led him to go. The direction that was given was very clear. It was very precise. It was to go eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And we find that the obedience is just as precise, for the Bible says that he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. It reminds me of another fella by the name of Saul. You remember Saul as king of Israel, right? And you remember Saul, and remember when Samuel came after he was told about the Amalekites and all the responsibilities they have to do, and we find that as Samuel came, Saul said that they had performed that which God had commanded them to do. Right? If you look over in the text of Scripture, and in fact, why don't you turn over there? We'll just briefly look at the text of Scripture this evening. And I want you to notice back in 1 Samuel chapter number 15, the partial obedience of Saul in this text of Scripture. But I want you to notice what Saul says. When Samuel arrives, according to verse number 13 of 1 Samuel 15, Saul greets Samuel by saying this, "I have performed the commandment of the Lord." Now, we know that he didn't do what he was supposed to do. And Samuel's answer to Saul is one that's quite interesting. I love what he says. "What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear?" Really, Saul, you've performed the commandment of the Lord? Why do I hear these animals that are still over? Because he was told to kill them, right? That's what he was told to do, destroy them. And see, the reality is that sometimes in our life, our heart is deceitful. Amen? Jeremiah 17 and verse number 9. I've mentioned many times that the worst deception is self-deception. It's bad to be deceived by the enemy. It's bad to be deceived by someone else. But self-deception is terrible. And we find that we could come to the place even where Saul is here and we can think, well, I've performed the commandment of the Lord, but yet only partially be obedient to what God has commanded us to do. I'm thankful this evening that the obedience of Elijah is complete obedience. That the writer of 1 Kings, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, provides us with the record that Elijah went to the exact place where God told him to go. And it was complete obedience. Obedience is critical. I consider this evening our obedience to the direction that God provides in our lives. Do you believe this evening that God still provides direction for you? I hope you do. I hope this evening that as you understand that the Lord God of heaven, our Savior, that He desires for us to do that which is pleasing in His sight, and He provides us with direction. Now, there are certain things that are, as we call it this evening, the revealed will of God and the Word of God, that really there's some, thou shalt do this, and you shall do these things. And those are simple things as we look into the Word of God. And we understand the nature of our obedience to the Word of God and to what it is that God has given us. But this evening, as we think about our obedience to the Word of God, we must ask ourselves the questions that we see in the life of Elijah. Is our obedience complete? Is our obedience immediate? Is there delay to obeying the leadership of God in our lives? Is it maybe some partial obedience in our lives? Or are we fully committed, understanding that God knows best? He knows best. He knows what is best for us, and He knows what He's seeking to accomplish on this earth. See, God has a plan for us, for our life, that is far beyond anything that we could ever really comprehend. We can understand this evening as New Testament believers that God's plan and God's desire is that the world would be reached with the gospel. Amen? That's what God's plan is. That's what God's desire is. We know that He told us in John 15 that He desires that we would bear fruit, that we'd bear much fruit, that we would bear that fruit to the glory of God. Amen? It's not for our own glory. It's not for somebody to say, hey, look at me, look at this, look at what I've done. No, it's all to the glory of God. And the reality this evening is that there are some things that God can give us as direction and leadership in our lives that He sees things from a different perspective than we do. And He's got perfect knowledge, perfect wisdom, and we don't. And He sees the whole picture, and we're just looking at this little tiny spot of the whole picture. You know what I mean? And sometimes we're so focused on the just our aspect and from our perspective that we fail to recognize that God has a greater plan and a bigger plan. And how is it, where is it that we fit in what God's plan is to reach this world with the gospel? And to understand that as He provides direction in our lives, that we would obey Him immediately and completely, understanding that it's for the glory of God. It is always, the songwriter said, it is best for Him to have His way with us. Amen? And we recognize that. It's easy for us to recognize that when we get through it on the other side. And we look back and we say, man, I see how God was leading. I see how God was directing. I see what God was doing. It's a little bit different when we're taking that one step at a time. That's living by faith. Amen? The Bible says over and over, the just shall live by faith. And the reality this evening is that as much as we see the obedience of God's servant in this text of Scripture, we must understand that His obedience reveals His faith. When we obey God, it reveals our faith. It reveals that we believe that God is going to do what He said He was going to do. Now think about that just for a moment. God told him there's going to be a drought. Not going to be any rain. No dew. He announces that to Ahab with great confidence. If God said this is what's going to happen, man, I know that God's going to do what He said He's going to do. And he stands before him and he says, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, he says, before whom I stand, there shall not be. He didn't say there might not be. It's possible that we're going to have a little season of dry spell. He says, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, according to my word. And God says, go over there to the brook. Isn't going to dry up, God? We'll deal with that next week. But can we not think that way? Can we not consider that from a human perspective? I'm going to command the ravens to feed thee. Do you know how counter that is to the nature of a raven? Ravens are scavengers by nature. Ravens, think about it. God, you're going to do what? No. There's no question. There's just obedience. Why? Because Elijah, as we mentioned, it's only 25 words in verse number 1, the announcement, not the first half, but as he starts, as the Lord God of Israel liveth. But in that declaration, we understand that's the first reference that we have of Elijah in all the Bible. But evidently, Elijah had a walk with God, and he knew who God was. And he knew that God was alive. And he knew that God was able. And we find that as he obeys the Lord, it reveals his obedience. It reveals his faith. It reveals his faith not coming to his own understanding of thinking, ravens? They're scavengers. They're going to bring me food? I mean, that's how I'm going to be sustained? Yes, that's how you're going to be sustained. But think about it. Our God always works in ways where He alone would get the glory. What did He say to Moses? They stood there on the banks of the Red Sea and the Egyptians were in hot pursuit. He says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And then He tells them to go forward. And He tells them after He rises up, He says, lift up that rod, and He parts the Red Sea. I mean, just miracles. You think about the Old Testament, full of miracles. The ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Gospels, full of miracles. And you find that when you examine the obedience, it always is going to reveal the faith. Do we really believe what God said He would do, He'll do? Because if we have faith, then we'll obey. The lack of obedience really reveals a lack of faith. Simply trusting. Just obeying the Lord. Trust and obey, a song that we sing often. But we find here, we notice not only the instruction for God's servant, the obedience of God's servant. But finally, this evening, as we look at verse number 6, I want you to notice the provision for God's servant. Elijah's obedience to the Lord is blessed. We mentioned that his obedience was critical. We mentioned that his obedience was not only critical, but it was immediate and it was complete. And now as we come to verse number 6, we find that his obedience is blessed by God. We find that the Bible tells us that God told him what he would do and how he would sustain him. And he went to that specific place in verse number 5. And the Bible says in verse number 6, "And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook." Now, isn't that amazing? Now, listen, I know that most of us know the account of 1 Kings 17. We've heard it. Maybe we've taught it in Sunday school. The little kids, they heard about Elijah at the brook Cherith. It's a familiar passage of Scripture. But just for a moment this evening, can you pretend that you're Elijah and you're sitting there and you've gone to where God told you to go, and then all of a sudden, I mean, on that first day that you're there, you see those ravens coming. And they got some food for you. I mean, they're there like clockwork. I mean, it is a personal delivery of bread and flesh. I mean, think about it. This is amazing. This is something, listen, when we look at the Word of God, we ought to regularly stand in awe of who our God is and how our God operates. And it ought to cause us to rejoice greatly to say, oh yeah, Elijah was at Cherith and yeah, the ravens came. No, this is amazing, miraculous, that God gave the direction and His servant obeyed, and then the ravens come. And they came back that night. And then tomorrow morning, they were there again. And then tomorrow night, here come the ravens. And they're bringing, look, the Bible says in verse 6 that they brought Him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening. And He drank of the brook. I don't know how long He was there, but whatever the period of time Elijah was there, he got a good meal in the morning and in the evening. And he didn't have to do a whole lot for it. Amen? He didn't have to go find it. He didn't have to. Listen, Ahab, after the drought came, you understand that Elijah was a hunted man. You read over in 1 Kings 18, we'll get there in I don't know how many weeks, but we'll get there eventually. But we read about Obadiah and how they searched everywhere. And when Elijah came and said, "Tell him I'm here," he says, "I don't know if I can do that because you're going to disappear, right? And then I'm going to be the one that's going to be found in a tough position. I'm going to lose my life." And so he didn't have to go out and gather the food. He didn't have to go hunt for anything. The ravens brought it to him like clockwork. Every morning and every evening. That's amazing. That's a miracle of God. I mentioned already about ravens being scavengers by nature, and it makes the provision that we're reading here this evening even more miraculous. But here's what it reminds us of. It reminds us that God is the Creator. That His creation, apart from mankind, always obeys Him. Always. You think about Jonah with that great fish. Aren't you glad that, listen, that great fish obeyed better than Jonah did? And I think Jonah's probably happy it did. Amen? God said, "Spew them out," and the fish did. By the way, at the place where God told him to. Amen? And this evening, when we look at a text of Scripture like this, we ought to stand in awe of who our God is. We ought to rejoice greatly that even still today that God provides direction for us as His people. And as He provides us with direction, as He gives us our marching orders, as He says, "I want you to do this, I want you to go here, I want you to give this, I want you to do that," that we just obey. Just in simple childlike faith, obey God. And then we get to see what God can do. And we get to see that God will always do what He says He will do. And we look at the text of Scripture and we're reminded this evening that God is able. He's able. We don't have to lean on our own understanding. We don't have to rely on our own wisdom by the way, that's a dangerous thing, relying on our own wisdom. I'd rather have the wisdom that comes from the Almighty God who knows all things and say, God, I don't have to understand it all, but I just want to obey you. Just trusting you that you know best. You know, sometimes, and I know that the illustration doesn't work perfectly because sometimes kids can be rebels, but a lot of times you think about a little child and you think about their faith that they have in their parents telling them the truth, in doing something, whether it's to... I remember when Joseph, I couldn't do it today, I'd break my back probably, but I'd put him up somewhere high and I'd say, now jump to me, Joseph. Any of you ever do that with your kids? It's fun, right? He'd say, come on, jump, jump, jump. And he would jump and I'd drop him. And then I'd say, go back up there again. Jump, 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 jump. Daddy's going to catch you this time. What do you think he's going to do? He'll be like, are you crazy? I'm not, you've already dropped me once. No, but when I catch him and I put him like, you know what happened when they were kids? Before I was almost ready for them to jump, they're leaping again. Why? Because they just believe that I'm going to catch them. Right? We've experienced that in life. I remember with Joseph, I was throwing him up and he's just having a great time. And I think Juliana came and said, Daddy, can you do that for me? Now, that, you know, Juliana's like 4 years older. And I thought, well, I think you're too big, honey. And now she's taller than I am. I can't throw anybody up anymore. Amen. I can't even throw Joseph up anymore. But there was a day, and they would just leap. And what if we, listen, God's not going to drop us. He's not going to fail us. And we just need to, by faith, trust God. And we see in the life of Elijah this evening, we see he received direction. Praise God for it. He obeyed God. And God provided for him in a supernatural, miraculous way. In a way that only God could receive the glory. Isn't that exciting? I like it when God works that way. By the way, God has a tendency to work that way. Where, what did he say to, you think over the book of Judges, Gideon? No, your army's too big. Right? Why did he tell him that? Read the text. He says, because if you win with that many people, you know what you guys are going to do? You're going to say, we did it. Yeah. Read it. So he said, you have too many. You still have too many. 300. Now you're in good spot. Why? Because now, when you get the victory, you're only going to be able to say, God did it. Amen. And God works that way. And I am thankful this evening. Elijah at Cherith. Next week, the brook dried up. Verse number 7. I'm looking forward to it. Because you know what? Elijah might have been surprised, but God wasn't. And there's a great lesson for us in 1 Kings 17 and verse number 7. We'll look at that next week. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. We thank you for loving us. We thank you so much for your word. We thank you for this particular passage of Scripture and how so many years later we can read it and study it and we can be encouraged. We can be strengthened in our own faith that we might trust you more, that we'd have greater faith to obey you. God, thank you for the direction that you provide. I pray that you'd bless our time of prayer through the remainder of our service, that all that is said and done, that you alone would be glorified. Well, thank you for what you'll do, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.